speaking within my spirit. I believe this to be a word of the Lord of what is to come, what is happening, but to encourage us not to lose hope. Amen. I have studied for different seasons in the church to see what the Lord is about to do, what he's doing, but more importantly, we need to have an understanding of why he's doing what he's doing. And I began to start a different message yesterday afternoon, in the evening, and then this morning, I just said, God, this doesn't seem like it's the way to deliver this message. I think this is something different that you want to speak. So I put everything away. We came and we set up this morning. I went into my chambers, and the Lord spoke to me very, very clear. And I believe this is something that shall bless you, but let's first get an understanding of what is taking place in the times that we're in and understand the times that we're in. Do you understand? So if you would, get your Bibles with you and please turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke 21, verse 11. And when you have it, say amen. As you're preparing this scripture right now, in the Gospel of Luke 21, verse 11. Turn my mic down, guys. That won't be the time for you to listen to me. That won't be the time for you to get into the Word. Just follow me, okay? This October 5th, 12th, 19th, and the 26th will be Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock in October, we'll have our prophetic class right upstairs in the other chapel. Our prophetic class for October will be October 5th, 12th, 19th, and the 26th. It'll be Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. That'll be right upstairs, second floor, in the chapel. Now, I look forward to it because I believe that there's going to be some new people. I was talking to Rabbi Rick right outside in the hall there, and he was telling me they've got interest from different people that have never been before. So for those of you that have been through the class, it's free. You've already been once. Children, if they've been, they've come, teenagers, it's free for them. If your first time, it'll be $40 just for the training material. But this past class, what we did is we taught also on spiritual warfare and demonology. We broke off some generational curses. We broke off curses that came through our lineage. And we also broke off any type of curses that came by way of others in our life. So I believe that God is doing something fresh in you, but he's preparing us for what he's about to do. Amen? So I encourage you, if you would, if you want to sign up, you can go on our website. You can sign up there. We will have a clipboard in the back for you to sign up. Just let me know if you would see Sylvia. Where's Sylvia? There you are. If you see Sylvia right after the class, after the service today, and we can get your name and information, okay? Are you there at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verse 11? Yes? All right. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verse 11, reads this wise. And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilence, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Now turn with me to Mark 13. Mark 13. When you get to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verse 8. It says in verse 8, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famine and trouble. These are the beginnings of sorrows. That was Mark 13, verse 8. Previous scripture was Luke 21, verse 11. Now turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 60. Psalms 60, 60 at verse 2. Psalm 60, verse 2. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. I'm going to give you one more. Just Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. verse 26. Hebrews 12:26. When you got to say amen. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that as we give ear to the Spirit of the living God, I thank you that it guides us, that your word will guide us, teach us, and prepare us for what is to come. But let not our fear get in the way of what you are declaring in this atmosphere. Let not our fear begin to dictate to us what we are to do, but let your word permeate in us so that we no longer live in fear, but in preparations for what is to come. So, Father, we thank you right now. And I take authority over every sickness and every disease in this atmosphere right now. You are subject under the messenger of God. And right now, I take authority over every foul and unclean spirit, every distracting spirit right now in the name of Jesus. The plans right now are canceled. Father, I thank you for the release of the warring angels to go forth in this atmosphere to prepare of what you are about to do. Father, I thank you that the hearts and their minds are enlightened, illuminated, and ready to receive what you have in store for them today. We thank you for it now. Now let me decrease as you increase. Fill my mouth with your words, God. Let them hear you and let them see you. It is not about man, but it's about the Spirit of the living God. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Hallelujah. As God is speaking about the earthquakes, he's speaking of earthquakes. Has your life had an earthquake? Have you had your life rocked from time to time? Has something in your life really shook your faith? I mean, it really shook your faith. Did you even question whether you were saved or not? Yeah, because sometimes some things will happen and you question, am I really saved? Because if I wasn't saved, the one that caused the ruckus in my life would be 6 feet under. We lay hands on people quickly. But we don't want to do it in that wise. We want to make sure that what we're doing by the way of God. But when something just happened to come into your life and shake you. Do you have a tendency when you're getting shook, do you lose your footing? Do you lose your faith? Don't be looking at me like you're all holy now. I told you the Lord gave me this message. I feel that there's some times when your faith gets tested. You're like, hold up, God. Why are you doing this to me? Why are you allowing this into my life? If you truly were God, it wouldn't have happened to my life. Oh, I am touching a nerve so quickly, and I'm just trying to greet you. See, we want to blame the devil for everything. But the devil is not omnipresent. He is not everywhere. And we give credit to the devil saying, the devil made me do it. Don't be lying. Don't be lying. There ain't no devil that made you do it. You made yourself do it. Well, I didn't mean to turn on the computer and look at that website. The devil made me. No, the devil didn't turn on that computer and do that. You did it. Some of you are like, what's wrong with the computer? I ain't talking about the computer. I'm talking about where you've been searching. No? Do I need to get Josh up here already? See, I believe that what has happened is that we start giving the devil more credit than what God is trying to get us to understand. The devil ain't everywhere. God talk like that. God talks like that. I said, he ain't everywhere. For some of y'all English scholars in here, ain't a word. Well, quit using it. I said, Lord, I know that at times we want to blame the enemy for what is going on. But I want to know what I've done to cause my foundation to quake. Yeah. What have I done to make my world become so shaky? What have I done to make my surroundings be shook? I said, Lord, I want to make sure. I want to make sure that I'm not doing something to cause my faith to dwindle. That my hope that is in you to be shook. Have you ever had something in your life that was so precious to you to be taken? Have you had something that you have labored for, labored over, to be suddenly taken from you? Are you looking at some things in your life that have been shook out of your possession, that has caused you to have faith even when you didn't have faith? See, there's some things that are going on in today's society that we look upon that the scripture tells us. There is war, there's pestilence, there's all kind of things happening. But I'm about to tell you, we're about to experience earthquakes in the natural that reverberate in the spiritual realm, that are going to be in different places than what you can ever imagine it to be. Where you thought you once had a solid foundation, it will be tested. It will come under attack. But most of what you build your foundation on is what's going to determine how long it will stand. Oh, I wish I had a church that understood what I'm saying. If you're building on the faith and the word of God, it is going to be tested. Your health is going to be tested. Your marriage is going to be tested. Your relationship with your children will be tested. But that does not mean that when the earthquake comes, that it's something to take you out. Oh, I hope you hear what I just said. The earthquake that is coming in your life, you felt the shocks beginning to tremble. You felt what you once had as to be a solid foundation begin to tremble. He says, but if you built it upon this rock, Jesus, if you build it upon the word of God, when the storms do come, because they will come. He didn't say if they might come. He said, no, they will come. And when they do come, you will be able to stand on the foundation of his word. The earthquake is coming. Something is shaking right underneath you. Something is getting ready to be changed in your life. But when an earthquake comes, that means what was once solid is about to be torn open. Woo! Something is about to be torn open. What was meant, oh my God, to be held together is about to be torn open. What was meant to be locked. Come on, Jeff, stand over here. Jeff, look, 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 look. Come on, Jeff. What was meant to be locked. Locked tight. So that it wouldn't open purposely. Now is about to be opened. What was meant to be locked in tight. Is about to be shook open. See, there's some things in your life that should have been stuck together, but only for a season. For the appropriate time, God's about to shake some things to open for you. What was once there that was solidified, that was caused to be united, a season where it was locked and put in, but now it's about to be open. But the only way that it gets open is when the foundation is shook. Thank you. We have felt like we're getting somewhere in the body of Christ, we're getting somewhere with God, but then all of a sudden, I'm gonna stand right here.
See, it's just radiating all over you. It's all over you. His presence that stands right there.
He's saying, what were you thought was going to keep you from getting is about to be shook so that you can get what was necessarily for you to receive. What was once shut up, what was once locked up, is now about to be opened up so that you can get what is rightfully yours. Some things in the foundation have been shook so that it can come open, so that everything that was locked back is now going to be set free. Things that we go through will be tested and he will receive glory. But the things that we have been going through is about to turn around. It's about to turn around. If I be who God has called me to be, I tell you this, beloved, that everything that had been shook in your life, you are about to see even greater things come into fruition in your life. The peace that surpasses all understanding is about to visit you. His name is Jesus. Woo! Your ministry that you do to help people left and right, you have a ministry of help inside of you. You help many. You want to clothe. You want to feed. You want to reach out to many. But there's at times you've been stretched too thin. Where's my help? Where's my help? In your weakness, he's going to show his arm strong to you. Your night season has come to an end. And the light of Almighty God is pressing through. And he's about to break open the foundations. He's about to break open, thank you, Jesus, the heart of the one that has been callous. The one that doesn't want to listen. The one that is hard-headed. The one that don't want to listen. Don't tell me about God. I got my own God. Let me introduce you to the God that will get into every hard place. Let me introduce you to the God that will reach down to the deepest part of the soul and remove of everything that keeps that one from him. Your harvest and your prayers, thank you, I see it. You take the closet literally. You get into your closet and you pray. And because you've been praying, but you hadn't seen the harvest of what your prayer is concerning this loved one, you're about to see what God is about to do as the angel goes forth to bring about change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. If that had been for you. Woo! Oh, God, you're good, you're good, you're good. Feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel my helper. He's here to help me in time of need. He's here to help me through my storm. He's here to help me when things get turbulent, when things get unstable. He says, do not worry, I got you. I got you, Marty. Stand, and when all you can do, stand. Why? Because he is moving on your behalf. He is here. He's maybe shaking the foundation, but he's about to rip open some things for you. He's about to open some doors that no one can shut. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. I feel him. I feel him. My God. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 16, verse 26, it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. See, we equate the earthquake to something bad, but in your bad situation, an earthquake is there to open up and set you free. They were put in prison because they delivered a woman from demon spirits. Woo, somebody better hear this. When you want to go do good for somebody and liberate somebody, woo, some people don't like it. If you know the story in the book of Acts, it's talking about a woman that was she could tell the future. She could tell the future, Joe. She couldn't tell nothing.
All she was out there making money for her masters. The reason why Paul and Silas got put in jail is because he disrupted the flow of their currency. Oh, what? Brother, have you ever been in a place where some things just don't go right? But then you decide to make things right. Everybody else wants to turn against you when you decide to do things right. I've been there. I'm going to do right. I'm going to do good. I'm going to be a good boy. I'm going to be real good now. Not tonight. Because every time we try to do something right, the enemy sends a little spirit called self, you, self, to look in the mirror and say, I got this. I can do it anyhow. It ain't going to bother me. When I used to do my cocaine, I thought, it ain't going to control me. I got this. And every time I would start going deeper and deeper in my own mess, God says, you think that you're God? You think you're God that you can control your cocaine habit? I'm about to shake open some things for you. I was at a Taco Cabana. It was early in the morning, but okay, it was late at night, early morning. You know, nothing good happens after midnight. All you kids, you need to be home. But it's just getting started when you're hanging with the wrong crowd. Get your butt home. Ain't nothing good happen after midnight. Let me learn you a little something. Most demonic activity happens after midnight. You want to know when the witches and warlocks come out? After midnight. Get home. Get home. Ain't no reason to be out there. Well, teenagers like, I don't get to go out. Mama's always out. Daddy's always out. Can you tell them, ain't nothing good happen after midnight. You need to be home with your children. You think I don't know about this generation? Before, the generation of kids were always out. Now we got a generation now where the... Now we got mama out with their kids. Oh, Lord. Got a generation, we can't even raise them up the right way. Because, let's be friends. We friends. I'm your best friend. You can tell me anything. My mom was my best friend, but I didn't tell her everything. I told her just enough. Kayla, but she saw right through it. She said, oh, really? Mm-hmm. You came in at 10 o'clock today? Okay. Mom, I came in early. I'm tired. I'm going to bed. Okay. Go out the window. Yeah, my story, Maya. Go out and meet your friends down the street. Mama locked the window. I couldn't get back in. Next thing you know, my friends are taking off. I'm standing outside the window like, uh-oh. Now I got to go to the door. Mommy, I'm sorry. She opened the door. She didn't have to say a word. Mama just looked at me. I was already crying. Senior in high school, crying like a little baby. True. She didn't have to say a word. But the look in made me know I disappointed her. Has God ever said something for you not to do, but you still did it anyhow? Imagine looking in his eyes now. What would his eyes look to you? See, we think we can hide some things. Think we can be a certain way. But there's some things that God is saying, well, I'll let you do them because you're going to do it with your will. And we say that all the things that have happened in our life is because
because the enemy made me do it. You're your worst enemy if you don't start changing your ways. If you don't start making change in your life, you become the worst enemy. The devil sits back and says, I didn't do that one, but boy, that was a good one. Let me take notes from you because that was good. You see, some things in your life have to be shook. And they have to be shook for a reason. It's going to open up some things in your life that you have never experienced before. And we look at every hardship and every trial to be something that's there to take us out. But in reality, it's there to take you in. It's to take you into a deeper relationship with Him. It's all fine and dandy when you pray when things are good. You put a plate of food in front of me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Don't put food in front of me for 3 days. My prayer when I receive food, Lord, I thank you for this food that you have given me. I thank you that it is nourishment for my mind, my body, and my soul. Why? Because when you don't have, you have a tendency to dig deeper and give thanks at a whole different level. So there's some things and seasons in your life when you go without, but then there's a shaking that comes to open up so you can enter into a place that you will have more than enough. This woman was out there bringing currency in for her master, and she was doing all kinds of witchcraft. All kinds of divination. So here's Paul and Silas casts out the demon from this lady, and now the masters get so mad because now the currency in which they were getting was taken away. Every time you want to do good, evil is right there by your side. The Apostle Paul writes that. Every time I desire to do good, it's like evil is right at my right side. Because he said, why? Why? Because you have a tendency to go back to what you used to do. He didn't say the devil was there. The devil made me do it. How many times y'all hear that before? Oh, the devil made me do it. The devil's like, man, I didn't do it. You did it. So now they get thrown into prison for doing what was right. But my question is, if you look at that story, the master of this woman that was doing divination and doing all this kind of stuff, they had influence over the jail, had influence over the Sadducees. They had influence over the publicans. They had influence over those that controlled your destiny in that region. They listened to that voice. Got thrown in jail for doing something right. Now, can you imagine being thrown in jail for doing something right? Huh? We know we get thrown in jail if we do something wrong. But for doing something right, they get thrown right into prison. Paul and Silas are now in this prison. Can you imagine what they were saying, Darlene? I can't believe God did this to us. I can't believe after doing everything that we've done, God didn't intervene. I can't believe that after all we've been through, we birthed the church, we are overseers of the church, we're raising up people in the church, we're discipling people, we're casting out demons. Why did God let this happen to us? You think they were going through all of that? I think the Holy Spirit knew so well. Don't even write what they were thinking. Don't even write what they were saying. Because we got some fickle Christians today. Holy Spirit knew way back then. Don't write about it. Because if you put in there what they were thinking, that's it. But isn't it fun? We read about what did they do in their prison. What did they do? They praised the Lord. Being locked up in prison and in shackles, they started praising God. Can you start praising God in the midst of your storm? Yeah, Pastor, I can. No, you don't. No, you don't. First, you start calling Sister So-and-so. Will you pray for me? Can y'all pray for me? Well, let's go call Pastor. Pastor, can you pray for me? I got you.
Yeah, I got you. Oh, let's call the mothers of the house. They'll pray. What about if God's saying, I'm not going to allow you to go to anybody? I'm not going to allow you to go and talk to people about what you're going through. I'm going to see what you do when you don't think I'm in it. They started praising. It didn't say that they had the microphone, because, you know, it didn't say that they had all those disco lights so they could start. It didn't say that there was AC in there, feel comfortable and then start praising the Lord. It didn't say that everything was actually in right order for them to start praising God. They started praising God in their worst situation. They started praising God when they were chained and bound up. They started praising God in the midst of other prisoners that did not know Christ. So there's some things in your life that are going to drive you into a new area, but it's not there to take you out, even though you may feel like you've been brought out of some things. It's there to take you in deeper. But it's not going to happen until the earth begins to quake and begins to open up, that you begin to see the prison doors open up. You see, it wasn't about what you have done, what you haven't done. It's about where He's sending you to get done. Woo-wee. Prison doors always reflect how you're kept back from your own freedom of worship. What are those prison doors today? Religious activities. A religious mindset that says you only do it on certain days. Religious mindset says you can only do it a certain way. You can only dance a certain way. You can only have His presence within the four walls. You can only have an outpouring of His presence in a church setting. That's not what He's saying. He says, wherever you're at, I am with you. And if you just break open that thing inside of you and let that earth that is quaking deep inside, let that open up and let the praise come forth. Out of your praise, now the chains will fall off. Because those chains were just the chains of Paul and Silas, right? No. See, their praise caused the earthquake to let all the chains off of everyone behind those doors. And then you would think that just the chains came off of Paul and Silas, that it was done. It says in that particular story, they didn't even leave the cells. They stayed inside. You know you a bad Christian when you know, I mean bad, good, you know, terminology bad, well, you bad, that's good. Okay, that kind of Christian. When God has opened the door for your freedom, you know, I like my praise has set a different atmosphere. I'm free inside my situation. Doesn't matter if the door's been open, I'm already free inside. I'm already free because I know where I am. I know who called me here. I'm free from everything that has tried to stop me on the outside and tried to stop me on the inside. I'm already free. And because of my praise, I believe the other prisoners were just sitting there, hey, you singing too. Well, that's a nice beat though. I don't know who this Jesus is. Hallelujah. I believe it got so contagious that it made the other prisoners just join in. See, your praise can affect others. It can infect others. That will begin to have people start dancing and shouting about Jesus Christ that never even knew Him. That never experienced Him. They were chained and bound saying, how can you praise in the midst of this situation? They say, you don't know God like I know God. You don't know what He's done for me. You don't know how He brought me out of drugs. You don't know how He brought me out of all kinds of sickness and disease. I gotta praise Him anyhow. Why? Because it's about to break open the doors for others. Woo! Your praise will start taking change. It'll set some people free. I used to come home late at night after doing my silliness. And I would see this table, which my mother still has today. And on that table, she would have her Bible up, her highlighters in her pen, praying until I got home, reading her word till I got home. The moment I stepped foot in the house, Mom, every night I came home late or even early, I had to go and tell her and give her a kiss. I'm home. Some of you children need to do that now. Some of you wives and husbands, you do that now to your spouse. If your mother's still alive and your father's still alive, you do that now. Don't do it when they're in a coffin. Don't do it when the last day. You do it now. Now I would walk in and say, Mom, I'm home. And I would see her on the table praying and reading her word. And as soon as I give her a kiss, she would close her Bible and go right to bed. Work was done. You understand? You cannot see the fruit of it yet. How many years did I put you through that? I was a bad Christian. I mean, bad dude. I was bad. Put it through so much. But I knew that look in her eyes when I disappointed her. It didn't change me right away. But it hit me deep inside. That when the next situation came in my life when I was rocked, I can remember looking at those eyes. Eyes of disappointment. I said, God, I don't want to ever experience that again. And over the course of my life, I began to understand what it is to grow up to be a young man. I didn't have all the answers. We don't have all the answers. We go through life and we get rocked. We get shook. And we wonder how much more can we endure. I'm here to tell you, as long as you're on your knees and you're praying, or you're in your closet praying, as long as you're giving all your faith that you have towards the very thing that he has said, on behalf of your children, on behalf of your spouse, on behalf of your pastor, God's going to be faithful to the very end. Everything that we do in life will be a solid foundation. But then it gets shook. The earthquakes that come are to open some things up in your life for you. They're not there against you. They're for you. Paul and Silas, they begin to just praise God in the midst of some serious adversity. But look what happened when the earthquake happened. Doors flung open. Chains fell off. People got saved. People got saved. We hear all this about what's going on in the earth today. You have a choice to make for president. You're like, oh, is all we got? Or it's going to get bad. Every bad situation is an opportunity for God to show up. Every situation in your life that you don't think is going to turn around, he's the God of turnaround. He'll turn it around. I said he'll turn it around. He'll turn it around. I see you dancing in front of a recliner. I see you turning in circles, shouting for the Lord, thanking him for turning him around. Oh, I'm going to say this. But he's not home. You praise him like he is. You shout to God and thank him like he is already there. You thank God in the midst of everything that you're in, because faith is the substance of things that you hope for and the evidence of not seeing. What he's saying, it may not look like it's going to happen, but I'm going to praise him anyhow because it's about to happen. I'm not going to wait till the walls come down. I'm going to be shouting and doing everything I'm supposed to do because I know my victory is now in him. The foundations are shaking. The earth is about to open. Woo-wee! Oh, God, it's good.
Watch this. Psalms 150. Yes, this is what I believe that Paul and Silas in jail did. Psalms 150, 150, verse 6 says, "Let there be praise, let their praise go." In other words, it says, don't hold it back. Don't hold it back. Have you ever felt like God, something's been trying to hold you back from God? Just start lifting up a praise. Just start thanking. If something's there to hold me back, I'm going to look at it like it's just the tension and the bow and arrow. It's got to be drawn back. Because if it stays neutral, there's no force behind it. But if it draws back, now it has a propensity to launch forward at a different rate. Some things in your life, you've been stagnant for too long. You've been in a holding pattern for a very long time. You've been holding yourself in a position where God says, now I'm about to draw you back. And I'm getting ready to launch you. But in that drawing back process, you're not going to like the way it feels. It's going to feel a little tense. But if you start praising me as I'm beginning to pull you back, you're going to think that you're losing ground. But I'm only gaining momentum for you. So that when I let you go, not only will your praise change, but the distance in where you're about to go is further than you just standing for a season. Woo! I love this. I love this. I love this. Paul and Silas were living out of scripture. Watch this in Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide those who grieve in Zion, to bestow upon them the crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." Paul and Silas were living this scripture out before the foundations of the earth. God put it in a prophet to declare it. And now Paul and Silas were now living it. And now they were about to set the captives free. What was it? The earthquake broke open a prophetic word to come to pass. Your prophetic word that you're sitting on is about to be opened by the earthquakes that are sent into your life. And things are about to come manifest. And you will inhabit, woo, the land. You will take possession of what's yours. You're about to experience what God said, thus saith the Lord. The earthquake will bring it forth, and it will open it up for you. Woo. Oh, he is so good. He is so good. Oh, I love it, I love it, I love it. Turn with me to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verses 50 through 53. If you mark it, highlight it, whatever you want to do. But I want to point something out to you, what Jesus did on the cross. He let go of life on earth for an eternal life that will cause the earth to quake. Matthew 27, verse 50 through 53. I'm going to read out of the King James Bible. It says this. "Just when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth quaked and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of their graves after his resurrection, went into the holy city and appeared to many." This will rock some theologians' mind. This will rock your mind right now. Those that were raised from the grave went into the city to show themselves of the power of the resurrection where they were once dead. It didn't give a time frame of how long they were dead. We read that in the account with Jesus and Lazarus. He was dead 4 days. But this account says those that were dead that did not know came up out of the grave. I mean, there was some dirt still on them. Y'all know the music video with Michael Jackson, Thriller. This is the Thriller times. When he comes up out of the grave, they go into the city. Many saw, look at them zombies. They didn't say that in there. It said, look at those that we once knew and who we have buried. Oh. Do I have a church in here that understands what I'm saying? Has someone tried to put dirt on you and try to keep you from living, keep you under so that you don't come up over? Have there been some people in your life that kind of put you down all the time and you don't ever get to experience life? Do the situations in your life put the dirt to make you go 6 feet under? Let me tell you that because the earth quaked, because the earth shook, because he gave up his life, it says that he ripped the veil from top to bottom. Why top to bottom? Because he's saying it don't matter what separates you from me. I'm still above the circumstance. I'm above everything, and I'll rip it wide open. I'm above everything that keeps you away from me. I will rip it open. I will open the doors, and I will make the earth to quake. Why? Woo! Woo! I'll get back to Eugene, Caleb. It's real windy. Oxygen. I get back to the gym. Get my scrambled eggs in that gym. See, you know, I just started. I saw some eggs and some hash browns. And I got to get to the gym, brother. Y'all thought gyms. Coffee, you know. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Listen, when Christ died, he says he gave up his ghost. He gave up the Holy Spirit. He committed it unto the Father. He gave of life here on earth so that we could have eternal life. But what hadn't been dealt with is what separated us from the Father. What was it? It was called sin. So what Daddy did, he says, oh, since you can't reach the heavens, I'm in heaven. And what I'll do is I will rip the veil and I will separate and make a doorway where there was no doorway. I will make an entrance point regardless of what is in your life. I have opened up the door by way of an earthquake so that you can step in to what is rightfully yours. There's nothing that can separate you from God. I've made a doorway. Why? Because I am the door. Come to me and you will see my Father. I am the door. That's why he had to die, shake the earth, make it open up so that you could have access where there was no access. That's the Jesus we serve. I'll make a door for you. Oh, I love it because he said, ripped it the top. From the top. Because it had been ripped from the bottom up, they could have pointed that to man. But from the top down, only God can reach from the heavens. Above your circumstance, above your sickness, above the poverty level, above what everybody else said that you. I will rip things off. I will rip the labels off. I will take them off of my people. You're no longer a sinner. You're free. You're no longer lost, but found. You're no longer sick, but healed. You're no longer an orphan. You are now a child of the living God. You are his. No longer can the religious mindset keep us from him. He says, come on in. I will open up the door. And as long as you say yes to Jesus, He says, I will shake the foundations of this earth so that you can find access to me. Because religion keeps you away from him. Religion says your sin keeps you from the Father. I believe that. He said, I never instituted this. I proved that the law was there to show you you need a God. And you still couldn't get it right. You kept on adding more laws to my tent. Because you're a type of people that want to see people under instead of up above. You're a type of people that want to send people to hell instead of bringing heaven here on earth. You're the type of people that want to tell everybody their business, but let me reveal your business. I'm God. And you can come in anytime you want. Regardless of your sin. You don't need to bring a calf. You don't need to bring a pigeon. You don't need to bring nothing. You don't need to bring a lamb. I gave the lamb the ultimate sacrifice without spot or blemish for the payment of your sins. Even the earth quaked to open up doors. Doors. If Jesus wouldn't have done it, you and I would never get saved. We'd have no reason to follow after Christ, but he did it. He proved. And when he did that, he said in his word, watch this. In verse 52, and the graves were open. Do you know what the graves were back then? They weren't in the ground. They were stuck in a wall. They were stuck in a wall. In a wall. With the stone rolled in front of it. He says, you see, if they're going to reject every stone that is built, they even rejected the chief cornerstone. He says, when they put you in a wall, it reminded me of the scripture when the first prophet was put in a wall. Okay. Who said, show me your glory? Moses. Who said, show me your glory? Show me your faith. Where did God put him? In the rock, in the wall. Where? Right in there. See, every time you get put in tough places, you're about to see the glory come to you. Every time you get put in a wall, get put in a crack or in a crevice, God says, I'm about to show up. It's a setup. It's a setup. Everybody else gonna come against you. But, woo, what a devil out of Dodge right now. I tell you what, every time you receive something from God, woo, every devil and everybody starts going against that thing. How do you know it was from God and it wasn't? Look, the mere fact that you challenge it, that's proof. That's proof. See, you can't curse what God has blessed. You can try. He said, but every time I go and try to curse the people of Israel, I wind up blessing them. Look at what Scripture says. So I said, go and curse them again. Shoot, I'm going to get this one right. I'm going to go. And then, oh, Lord, bless them, Lord. Just bless them. I came to curse them, but I can't. I see your glory on them. I see your favor that's on them. I see that everything that they've been through, all I can do is bless them. Lord, bless me because I'm blessing them. The Bible says if you pray on behalf of those that come against you, you pray against your enemy, you bless them, not against them. God will turn it around for your good. Woo! I'll tell you. And Moses said, show me your face. Show me your face. He says, you can't because then you'll die. Then you'll die. But now because Jesus ripped the veil, we have access to be in his presence. Right in his presence. Wherever you're at.
standing in line getting your driver's license, and you haven't driven a car, never had a driver's license, but you're standing there. You're probably scared about taking the test. I know it. They're trick questions. God, I know you're going to do something for me. I know you're going to wipe away maybe my past. But I'm going to stand and believe that everything that's come against me, everything that has stood against me, everything that has been spoken against me, every word in every mouth that has spoken against me, God, you're about to show up and show off on my behalf. Everything that I have gone through, you're about to show up, and you're going to give me that license. You're going to give me that ability to go to places that I've never been. I'll be able to do without having depending on anybody. I will do it because you're going to turn it around. I know God is turning some things around. But it doesn't come when it's easy. It comes when it's hard. Now I'm going to talk to you about the other gym, the real gym, you know, weightlifting gym. When you go to the gym and work out, when do you get past the pain? Is it right after you finish? No, it's when you're at rest that growth comes. But then you got to go back when you're sore. You know how some of y'all do? Boy, it hurts so much, I'm not going. That's when you go. But you don't understand, everything about me hurts, even my eyelids hurt. That's when you go, is in the process of pain. It's where the growth is coming in. Matter of fact, the Bible says, oh my God, this is going to help somebody. Your muscles begin to ache because of the acid buildup, because of all the strain. Oh my God, because of all the strain. That tells the fitness trainer is that you're not breathing correctly, because as you're breathing in the strain, that will put the oxygen into the muscle tissue. What am I saying? The enemy has tried to come in to take the breath out of you in the midst of your growth, in the midst of your training, and you're sore about it. You're sore that you don't want to continue on working your faith. But God says in that time is when you exercise your faith. Because now you're about to grow. And I will be the breath of life to you. I will be the blood that will bring an increase into your area of faith. Work the faith. Woo. Trust him, Janie. Trust him. Regardless of what it looks like. Regardless if you're in a place that don't make no sense. Praise him anyhow. Get to the point that you will irritate every devil, every demon, and every spirit that has come to test you. You will irritate them. How is she praising God in the midst of this storm? How is she praising him? I try to take the oxygen away. I try to get her away, but she's still praising Jesus. It'll change some things. It'll make the earth shake. And it'll open doors. Woo-wee! I love it. The graves were open. Verse 52, the graves were open. My God. What was there to keep you from living? It was about to be open. What was there keeping you from experiencing what you need to experience in joy and in love and in peace? Is about to be open. What is about to keep you, my God, what has been keeping you from enjoying your rest and your peace is now about to be open. Whether it be financial, whether it be spiritual, whether it be love. And the one thing that people get really skeptical about is healing. He heals some, but not all. The Bible says that by his stripes you were healed. He didn't say some of you, all. Many equate that to be that, well, it's up by proportion of your faith. No, that wasn't it.
Well, Jesus only healed a few of them, not all of them. He hadn't gone to the cross yet. When he died and the earth shook, that's when it became a reality that the prophetic word was now opened up, that you can obtain your healing now. What do you need healing in heaven for? Your healing is here. What do you need money in heaven for? You need it here. What do you need the wealth of the kingdom here for? Because you need it here now. Not when you get up to heaven. I'm going to get to heaven and Peter's going to say, welcome, Marty. I'm going to say, where's my truck? Because I didn't get my truck while I was here. Where's my truck? I don't want to drive in heaven in my truck. What do you think Jesus is going to do? Well, hold up now. Well, you need a truck. Fly with me. Come here. Where do you want to go? You're there. You don't need no truck. I said, but I wanted it while I was on earth. Where's my truck? And I didn't mean no Tonka truck. I wanted a truck. And guess what he's going to look at me and tell me? He says, I had it there for you all along. But you kept doubting. And you kept talking against your blessing. You had your angels so confused. You had your angels wondering, do I go get him his truck or do I wait? Because every time he says, but, I have to stop. But if they just were to keep on prophesying and declaring that this is that, that it looks like, and it is, it shall be. So we have angels that are waiting, that are not working. Angels are to work on your behalf. It will line up with the word of God. I'm called to be blessed. I'm called to be healed. I'm called to be a blessing. And I want it now. Now. I want my children saved. I want my children working in the ministry. I want my husband back. I want my wife back. Send me my Boaz. Send me my spouse. Send me my son into the kingdom. Send me my daughter to sing unto the Lord. I want my husband now. You don't wait till later. You get it now. Woo! I ain't waiting for revival. I am revival. I'm not waiting for an outpouring. I pour out. You pour out. You are revival. Don't be waiting for nobody to pat you on the back. Don't be waiting for nobody to come and tell you you're doing good. Get up and do good. Get up and do your ministry. Get up and give your gift. You do it regardless of what it looks like. You do it regardless of what you're going through. You dance in the middle of your... you dance. And you'll see change. You believe God regardless. And if it's dark, here comes the light. And if it's storming outside, here comes Jesus. Everything that you desire is not later, it's now. Just prayer, says the Lord. Woo! Oh, he's good, he's good. My, my, my. Woo-wee! Woo! My God! Hallelujah! 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 Reke besika ra 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 bose, roka ba 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 bose, ka ba 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 sa, reke besika ra 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 bose, wey ka ra 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 ba sa. My, my, my. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, God, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every single one of you that believe that this word is for you, the door is about to be open. Get up to this altar right now. Get up to this altar right now. The healing hand of God is on your life. You will move with the healing working power of Christ working inside of you. You will lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Those that have been down and out, you will bring an encouraging word, says the Spirit of God. I speak into the Spirit, man, the fire of the living God. The prophetic utterances will come out of your mouth. You will speak with the spirit of prophecy. You will release it. You will have visions. You will have visions once again, says the Spirit of God. You will have the understanding, says the Lord. Father, now I bless her right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Father, I thank you for the earth to be quaking around her. Said to be shook around her, Father, but the doors are opening for her on her behalf, for her family right now in the name of Jesus. Her family, her family, her family, her family. Make it real, God. Make it real. Make it real, God. Manifest, oh God. Manifest, oh God, in Jesus' mighty name. Fill him up, God. Fill him up, fill him up, fill him up. Give it to him, God. Give it to him. He's asking. He's crying for it. That's it, God. He's crying for it. He wants more. He wants more of you, God. Give it to him all. Give it to him. Great. Right now, in Jesus' mighty name, let the fire of God begin to permeate his soul right now, Father. Lord, I bless him. I bless him. I bless him. Speak about my soul. Speak about my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Make that way. Make that way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will last. It will last. It's for real. Greater. The earth has been shook, but your faith has withstood. But now I'm about to open up a spiritual door for you. It will be for 1,000 generations. For every curse is broken off of your life through your lineage. Every word curse, every violation. For I stand now, for I am the door, says the Spirit of God. And the door that I have opened for you is the door of your revelation and your illumination. To experience that never ending. Your faith has moved mountains for others. Your faith has been a light for others in the midst of your storm. God says, I counted it all joy for you. I've wiped away every tear. I've counted every tear. Your harvest is plentiful. It shall overflow. It shall overflow. Hearts are changing. Hearts are changing. Continue to be an instrument of hope to many. Yes. Speak healing right now to your body that is weary and tired. Rest, beloved, rest. Rest in my arms is the Spirit of God. You will slumber in peace and you will wake with such power and boldness is the Spirit of God. Blessings. Blessings. My fault, sorry. Right now, Father, as every individual that is standing here right now, Father, I just bless them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. You already know what they need, what they're in need of, what they're asking, what they're crying for, what they're believing for. You already searched their hearts. You already know all things. You already know the mind of them. Father, I ask you right now to continue to just bless them. I release blessings into their life, peace into their home, peace into their family, peace right now in Jesus' mighty name. Now release the virtue for healing right now. All that are standing right now believing for healing, I release the virtue of God right now in this atmosphere for you to receive your healing. I declare you to be made whole in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I thank you for it. We walk in it by faith. We declare those things that are not as though they already are. And we thank you for it. I'll prophesy to each and every individual that is standing here believing on behalf of somebody else to come into the kingdom of God. I thank you that your harvest is plentiful. Your harvest is great. Reach out to those that God has placed in front of you. Touch them. Bring an encouraging word. I release boldness into your mouth, boldness into your spirit, that you will speak and declare the word in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's give the Lord a praise. Let's give him a praise. Give him a praise. Give him a praise. He is good. The foundations have been shook, but it's opening doors. It's opening doors. More doors are opening. There's such favor on you, man. Every time you come in on Sunday, I look over and it's just on him. It's just on him.
And all I can just tell you, man, don't ever feel. You're the worst critic of yourself. Let it go, man. Let it go. Enjoy your life. Enjoy. Just know that God has favored you. He loves you. And whatever it is, like I gotta tell God, it is what it is. God, I don't know sometimes what it is, but it is what it is. And just trust Him. I've always heard every single time I see you, promotion, 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 promotion. I don't know what that means. I know you're getting ready to go to work and stuff, but I hear promotion, promotion, promotion. And I'm going to be me for a minute. I would say, okay, God, my promotion, the job. But I really sense that you want it in the spirit. I really sense that. You're going to take you up. I told you last time, you're a leader. You're a leader. I would say this.